Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I am your host again this week, Tim Keller here. Sitting here on this wonderful Zoom video chat with me, I have Justin back at it with me this week, and Tyler. Tyler decided to step in, come on the show. I mean,
this is 2 weeks straight. You can't do that. This is 2 weeks I've been here. You can't make fun of me. Doug is the one that's been gone for a while. So,
but I know baby three's coming. So at any moment, Tyler could just be gone from our lives. So, Tyler. What's baby countdown to?
Two more weeks. If that is the schedule it wants to go by. But other than that, I mean, from now to 2 weeks.
Nice. And you said it, just waiting to find out.
Yes. It's a waiting game.
If the baby is anything like Tyler, it will not be on schedule and it will do what it wants when it wants.
Pretty much. So. Yeah. Spot on.
Justin, how are you, man?
Doing really good, doing good. Had a wild week, and I'm finally actually getting to stay home for a weekend. I think for about 6 weeks straight, I had company or I was traveling on the weekend. So I have not done a lot this weekend, and it's been glorious.
Sometimes those are the best kinds of weekends, and you need them every once in a while.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And if you're Andrew Luck, you need them all the time.
You're going to have a lot of them coming up. Speaking of a wild week and a wild, wild weekend, that is easily the biggest dynasty football, fantasy football, just straight up regular football news that is out there. The surprise Andrew Luck retirement. And we kind of were discussing this before the show, but I said this is going to be one of those moments that everybody's going to remember where they were, what they were doing. So, Tyler, go ahead. Where were you at? What were you doing? How did you find out?
So I was at home, and everything settled. I come downstairs. It's where, you know, I go to for some quiet. I watch my sports. I watch football. And I turn on the Miami-Florida game, which was a great game. Mm-hmm. I turn that on, and it's on my phone, so I can't see any notifications or anything popping up. My phone goes off a bunch, but I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to keep watching the game. I have Madden on the TV, playing that a little bit of that. And all of a sudden, on the college game, they go, if you haven't heard, Andrew Luck retires. And like, it was almost a surreal thing. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, no. So I grab my phone, I click out of the game, and my phone is littered with notifications of Andrew Luck retiring. He is done. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this has to be a joke. Somebody had to have been joking. And I look, and Adam Scheffler straight up does it. And then I turn on the Colts game, and there they are, zooming in on Andrew Luck. And then you watch him tell Jacoby Brissett. I love Jacoby's reaction. Like, he's legit shocked. Andrew Luck was like, hey, I'm retiring tonight. And like, Jacoby was like, wait, what? And I think it was a mix of probably like excitement so like he's gonna get his chance. But then like you hear Andrew Luck on the podium, they were really good friends. He loved playing with Jacoby. So it's shocking. I mean, I like John Bosch said on Twitter, he owns a lot of Luck. I own a lot of Luck. It sucks, but I mean, I'm not disappointed. Like, yeah, it sucks to own him, but I'm not disappointed in his choice. It's his choice. I mean,
absolutely.
If it would suck going through rehab all the time with these nagging injuries and you work your butt off to get better and you don't, like, it, another injury pops up, and it just seemed like he was getting tired of that type of grind, and that's a legacy he didn't want to leave, was just always injured. Oh, he's one of the greatest, but he's never on the field. He's got all these injuries. Mm-hmm. He probably didn't want that. So, I mean, it took a lot of balls to go out like this. Like, it took a lot.
Yeah, and 29 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. 29 years old. You're telling me, like...
So, Justin, where were you at? What were you doing?
Yeah, I was just cruising Facebook, like, sitting at home. Gosh, I think I was just watching something on Netflix with my wife. And, you know, if I'd have been on Twitter, I'd have been like, oh, this is just a fake account. But, like, none of my Facebook friends changed their name to Adarn Schofter and, like, post stuff like this. So when it came across and it was, like, the now notification, like, it had just happened. It was before anything else popped up. Like, he must have it synced with his Twitter. And I was just like, no, no, no. So I got on Twitter to check there, and sure enough, it had already blown up, and it was real legit, you know, multi-million followers, Adam Schefter, and just all over the place. Like, we were talking, a lot of people on Twitter were talking about it last night. This has got to be the biggest shocking retirement ever. Like, this takes the cake from Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, mm-hmm. because like there was no warning here. Like, yep. Someone else had said, like, we didn't even get the rumor mill. We didn't even get the, well, you know, there's a chance that he retires this season. We didn't have the chance to even think about selling him. We didn't get any notification. So like the biggest thing that was the leak was that he didn't get to do it at his press conference, that somehow, you know, that it got sent to ESPN before he got to say it, which you were talking like, what, like an hour difference.
So
the best.
So also, there were signs when the Colts were asked about Andrew Luck and his injury. They ultimately went with, like, you know, if Luck is injured, we love Jacoby Brissett. Like, because apparently Luck went in about a week ago saying that he was mulling over it. He had thoughts about it and he was thinking about it. And you know, all this past week, I mean, I listened to Pat McAfee's show, and there were signs of like, okay, we don't want to talk about the Andrew Luck injury, but I mean, we'll talk about Jacoby. We love Jacoby. He's you know, he's the best backup in the league is what you hear. And he's a top 20 quarterback was mentioned by Chris Ballard about a week and a half ago.
That's just the team trying to pump up their fan base to say, look, that season's going to be okay if Andrew Luck is hurt again. And that's the thing your mind goes to, is that he's hurt again for the long term or something, because nobody thinks of a 29-year-old just being like, you know what, I'm going to throw my cleats up over the high line wire, I'm done.
It's
like,
not only a 29-year-old, it's an elite
Pro Bowl quarterback, like in the 40 touchdown in a season club. Like, this dude was one of the best every time he stepped onto the field.
At a position where we're seeing guys play into their 40s now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know,
well, I went upstairs and I told my wife about it, and I said, this is like the equivalent of AP at 26 coming off his MVP year and just being like, okay, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah. Yep.
He made such a huge resurgence last year. I mean, yeah. there was all that concern early in the season. They took him out for the Hail Mary, and everybody's like, oh man, his arm's just never going to be the same. And then the second half of that season, he just tore it up. Like, he went Andrew Luck on everybody. And so people are like, all right, we're going to be all right. And then all summer long, it's this calf, it's the shin, it's the ankle, it's the this, it's that. Yeah. And now finally this. So I was actually at my daughter and my niece. They had their first cheerleading game at a Little Ponies football game this weekend.
Nice.
So Saturday, I got the phone in the pocket. I'm being a good dad, a good husband, trying to be, trying. I'm doing my best. I'm impersonating a good dad and a good, you know, but my phone is just going wild in my pocket, and I'm like, okay, like something's going on. Somebody needs me. Like somebody's trying to call me or text me, or something big just happened.
So, question before, how many vibrates before you realize something is happening? Because that was the same kind of with me, but the Miami game, I was playing Madden, I just didn't go to it, but I noticed my phone, it was by like four or five, like in split seconds, like,
they started to trickle in. Like I got a text and that has a different vibration. So I'm like, all right, somebody text me. And then a tweet, and then a tweet, and then a tweet, 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 tweet. I'm like, oh, and then another text. I'm like, okay, let's see what this is. And so I went to the text first, and it's like, is this real? And it was a screenshot of Andrew Luck to retire, but it was like a blurb from some news site. It didn't have like, you know, one of the big heavy hitters attached to it. So I go to Twitter, just like Justin did, and sure enough, there is Shefty saying, confirmed Andrew Luck is going to retire at the age of 20. I'm like, no way. I'm like, how bad is he? That was my first thought, is how bad is his injury? What are the Colts not telling everybody? And then my second thought, the as soon as I went, God, that has to be a terrible injury, whatever it is, that the Colts just aren't letting on, is the Colts broke him. Yeah. They took one of the most talented prospects that had come out at the quarterback position for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were talking about him being the best quarterback prospect since John Elway when he was coming out. And because of the fact the Colts did not invest in an offensive line for so long in his career.
Ryan Grigson. Literally, I'm not throwing Chris Ballard under the bus because he's a genius. This is Ryan Grigson's fault.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right. They killed his love of the game. He didn't quit because rehab is too hard. He didn't quit because he'd had too many injuries. Like, it killed the love of the game because people come back from that stuff all the time. It's just a matter of, like, he went and he looked at it and he said, okay, I've got $100 million in earnings over the past 7 years. I'm due this much, but I really don't care because I don't want to get up and do this anymore. It's like any other crappy job. Like, once you realize you don't want to get up and do this anymore, you, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid if you hate life.
Yeah.
And you see tweets from people saying like, oh, Andrew Luck looks checked out. Like, as he's walking off the field, and he got booed, which was ridiculous in itself. And you saw tweets of people watching the video and like, this is a man who is checked out. This is a man who does not want to be there. Like, he loves his teammates, I got that, but he doesn't want to play football, and showed.
He may not have come back the last time if it wasn't for his love of the team and the love of his teammates.
Yeah,
you know? And a lot of people kind of do that stuff. I mean, you stick in jobs because you've got subordinates underneath you who depend on you, and if you left, it'd be worse for them. You know, those kinds of things, and it's similar to that where you've got a whole team that really depends on you, and they've put together this Super Bowl caliber team. But you just hate it. Like, I mean, especially after another injury, like, it's one thing to come back and be healthy and to be like, you know what? I don't even want to do this season. Like, I don't enjoy this, but like, to have that kick in the gut of another injury. And so let's talk about his value. Cause I know that's going to be really hard to decide. I've already had some crappy offers. I've got him in two different leagues that I was stacked. I was going to be, you know, competing. I still will be. It's just not going to be as dominant at quarterback. And I don't know. I put together my rankings last night and stuck him somewhere, but I don't feel good about it. So I'll kick it to you, whoever first.
Well, Tyler, before the show, you said on rosters you have him, you're not going to cut him. And you kind of threw out a pretty big number, in my opinion. So, I mean, you don't have to stick to that number necessarily, but
he's a 2 year.
Obviously, have him on rosters. How long are you going to hold him?
He's a 2 year hold for me. And it's just because I think after a year, maybe he'll see what he, you know, where he's going. He'll be 30. And then after that year, he'll be 31. And I think after 2 years, he's still going to be in his prime as a quarterback. And I think there could be an opportunity for him to be like, you know what? I'm fully healthy. Like Justin and I were talking off camera, and he'll be able to recover on his own in his own time. He won't feel rushed. He won't feel pressure of being this superstar quarterback needing to get back to help his team. And I mean, if the Colts draft a quarterback before then maybe I'll do after a year, because the Colts will have the rights to him when he comes back. So if people are saying, you know, Tom Brady retires and they go for Luck, maybe, but they would have to give up a lot of draft picks per se to get this man out of retirement and to come over. So that is probably a long shot, but I mean, if they stick with Brissett, and Brissett's all right, and he plays this year quite well, and next year, and they don't draft a quarterback, they stick with him, they pay him. Yeah, okay, maybe it will do a year after thinking it, because if they do pay Brissett, he will be the quarterback for them. Mm-hmm. So,
now, did either one of you guys go chase Brissett if he was available?
I did.
Any waivers? Okay.
I actually traded for him. And okay. It's in our listener league. I had to drop him because I have Luck. I had to drop him about a month and a half ago because I needed a roster spot, thinking, oh, I have Luck. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I dropped him. It's a 16-team single quarterback league. So I made a trade with somebody in the league. I got Juju and Brissett, and I don't have any shares of Juju. And I gave up Beckham and a couple seconds.
Yeah.
And I think Juju has more value than Beckham. And Brissett, I think in a 16-team league where you had Luck, is worth a second. Like, it's tougher to find quarterbacks in a 16-team league.
Yeah, that's and same fair.
Same with Superflex. I think Superflex, I'd pay a second rounder for Brissett if you had Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, what about you? You got any Brissett?
I do not. And I was, we were talking about, like you said, off air. I actually had to drop him for roster space. I want to say before rookie cuts, you know, like whenever Luck had been healthy for a while. That's what sucks about roster sizes. Like, sometimes you cut these guys that you don't see getting to play. And no, I have not actually went out and sought trades for him, just because I'm not going to pay for a guy at his peak. I mean, he's going to be post hype right now.
But is this his peak? That is what
it may not be his peak, because he could come out guns a blazing, and that offense is still set up really well.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, the offense is, they still have Frank Reich, who's an amazing offensive mind. Tim, you know that firsthand.
Yep.
And
I will agree.
They have Chris Ballard, who is like boy genius
he's doing wonders as a GM. There.
Yeah. That defense is good. So I think Marlon Mack is still going to be fine. I think Ebron gets a bump up because you saw them connect during preseason, Ebron and Brissett. I think Hilton will be fine because of Brissett's big arm. He does have a very, very good arm. Accuracy could be better, but I mean, with more playing time will come more of a veteran mind. And I think
he's going to fine tune those sort of things.
He will grow, I think, throughout the season. And I think at the end of it, in Superflex, Brissett could be worth a first. And that offense with Paris Campbell, T.Y. Hilton, and all the weapons they actually have, like, I think the sky could be the limit for this guy. He is super talented. He showed it in New England. He showed it in spurts in as a Colt. I like Brissett.
Okay, so let's get into a little bit of value. Like, this is going to be weird. Jacoby Brissett or Josh Rosen?
Brissett.
Yeah, Brissett.
All right. Him or Marcus Mariota?
Brissett. That's not even close to me.
Not even close. Okay. This is the hard one. Brissett or Andrew Luck?
Brissett.
Brissett.
Brissett. Okay. So this is like, we can get into his value in a second.
Now, let me ask you, Brissett or Stafford?
Stafford.
Stafford.
Okay. I mean, Brissett is Brissett 26? I think he's around 25 or 26. So, I mean, you're getting 4 years in Brissett, 4 or 5, give or take. And I think the Colts could be – I think the Colts might have better weapons. I think
the Colts are a better passing situation for quarterback play. Stafford is very, very talented, though. I mean, And it stinks that he's been stuck with the Lions all these years because, you know, if he was with a better offensive-minded head coach, I mean, he got stuck with Caldwell for all those years. If Stafford was somewhere else, he'd have been one of the top guys in the league. People would be all over him. Okay, like, let's talk about some of these ancillary pieces. Tyler's saying that T.Y. is going to kind of remain right about where he is.
He's obviously going to drop a little, like, in production. Okay. I mean, I think all pass catchers will drop a little because Luck is a premier talent. But, I mean, I think with Brissett, he's going to target Hilton more. So I think Paris Campbell won't break out right away. It'll take him a little longer. But Hilton, I think, will get more volume, but probably not as premier targets. You know, Luck could probably fit the ball in better. Brissett's going to throw to him often because it's T.Y. Hilton.
What does this do for a guy like Nyheim Hines, somebody that's going to get targets near the line of scrimmage?
I was kind of fading Hines anyway, so okay.
You don't think the, not that he's inexperienced, but the less experienced quarterback is going to focus on some closer to the line targets?
I mean, it just sucks for Nyheim Hines because James Booby Williams is now a Colt, and he's going to take Hines' job anyways. So, no, I still like Hines, but. Yeah, with Mac there, I don't know. I think they want to get Paris Campbell more involved. Maybe they'll make it more of like a jet sweep type offense where they'll have more motion with Paris Campbell, have him play like a Tyreek Hill type
I was just about position. To say like a Kansas City type thing where
yeah.
you're seeing them use Tyreek, you see them use Mecole Hardman already in the preseason like that. Get them in motion pre-snap. It's just one more thing the defense has to try to read pre-snap, deal with after the snap. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got the speed to do it, so. So let's talk about Lamar Miller and the torn knee. I mean, thank God they traded for Duke Johnson.
No kidding.
So also, Justin brought up dropping players because you need roster room. I dropped Caron Higdon, who I liked. Oh. I dropped him about 2 weeks ago in Kitchen Sink. Because I needed a roster spot, so
sucks. when they shipped off, oh God, who was it?
Alfred
Deonta Foreman. When they shipped off Foreman, when they released him, I mean, you saw a big wave of those second tier Texans running backs that weren't already picked up, kind of get picked up.
Yep.
And then I've seen in the past week or so, a lot of those guys. Get dropped, you know, dropped back into the free agency pool for these, you know, end of the roster type moves where somebody else flashes in preseason, like, well, you know, I picked up this Higdon or I picked up so and so, and yeah, you know, I'll go ahead and drop him back. Ferguson, those type of names, Demario Crockett. And now all of a sudden, huge wave again with the Lamar Miller news. So,
it's
Tyler.
It's super funny because in a league, I got a Chris Samuel share, everybody. I decided to dip my toe in the pot. I know you guys are probably all excited. I tried to trade for DJ Moore, and then that didn't work. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go for Curtis Samuel. Oh, well, I don't have a share. Let's try it out. So I got Curtis Samuel, and I needed to move somebody up in taxi. And Demario Crockett was the player that was my least popular player. I brought him up. But I didn't want to drop him because I'm not a Lamar Miller guy. So I slapped on 2 years. I had tons of years available. I slapped on 2 years on him. I said, oh, well, let's see what happens. And I could not be more excited about it because I like what I've seen out of him in preseason. I think he could
Tyler's out here looking like a genius all of a sudden with these GM moves.
Oh, God. Like it was tough because I'm like, I could do that. I could bring up a Darius Geis as my fourth running back, but I don't want to slap on a lot of years on him yet. So yeah, it was one of those moments where I like my gut's like, maybe you should not drop him.
Okay, so I mean, I know this weekend was a big weekend for redraft leagues. This one and next weekend are the two premier weekends for your redraft leagues. Justin, I had people asking me questions going into their redrafts today about Duke Johnson. Where do I take him? My thought is yes, you definitely have to bump him up in value 100%.
Mm-hmm. Somebody on Twitter said late first rounder in redraft.
No. If you're not taking Lamar Miller there, you're not taking Duke Johnson there.
I was going to say at the earliest mid to late third. Yeah. And that's if you're starting,
I'm not touching,
you know, wide receiver, and there's been some big running back runs, you know, already. So you're just like, hey, he's the best of the rest. I think, though, if I sit back and kind of analyze this position, I think that the Texans, I mean, you got guys like Jay Ajayi are still out there. Alex Collins, possibly. You got guys that could possibly, Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, if one of those guys don't make the Bills, I could easily see the Texans just saying, hey, come on down here. You're at least going to get some snaps.
Yeah. I mean,
for Carlos Hyde.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you're going to see a lot of movement coming this week, and you hear people talking about a big name receiver on the move. I've heard rumors of up to Tyreek Hill getting moved somewhere, which would be insane. And that's why, like, in redraft leagues, I've been last draft pick taking Mecole Hardman, just hoping that maybe that rumor comes true. But mm-hmm. I mean, you hear a bunch of rumors coming through. I wouldn't, obviously I overreact with the Mecole Hardman, but I mean, there's going to be a lot of little movements like that, like a Carlos Hyde going for a seventh round pick just for something. And yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. I think Jay Ajayi could actually just be out of the league for good.
Yeah, I think he is.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, if he's not signed by now, I don't know if he'll get signed. And so you look for a player like that to be the one to get moved. And maybe they get Alfred Blue back from Jacksonville, because you saw Ryquell Armstead get a lot of the second carries this week.
Yeah.
You know, I think Duke Johnson is that he's going to get that opportunity. This is his chance.
That's like what he wanted.
There's the thing about it now is kind of like what you've alluded to. There's not anything else in the market. And unless Houston's willing to give up some serious assets to get someone that's on the block, say like a Melvin Gordon, which they're probably not going to.
Yeah.
Especially after going ahead and trading for Duke Johnson. He's going to get every chance. So what you guys just mentioned is the perfect time to take him. Like that late second, sometime in the third, just depending on how your draft goes or how you've drafted specifically. But I don't think you take him much ahead of where you took Lamar Miller, because Lamar Miller was super dependable. He just didn't have the hype. And so you're going to have to pay a little bit more for Duke Johnson because of the hype. And I think he's a better receiver. So there's a little bit of extra upside there, but I don't think you break the bank for him. And if I see anybody take him in the first, I am going to laugh my way to a championship in their league.
And the thing is, I know this is kind of old school thinking, but Duke Johnson's on turf again, and players are a teeny weeny faster on turf. So that could make a difference possibly. And he's out of the cold as well. So I'm just going to give you some hypotheticals here to boost up his stock.
So yeah, I had a auction today for redraft league, and I saw Nick Chubb go for $45 of a $200 budget.
Good. I was
fine with it.
Yeah.
Once he got to like 18, I'm like, I'm way out.
Really?
You guys have fun. And it just kept going and going. I'm like,
wow. And a $200 budget? I mean, 25% for a top running back is about normal for an auction budget.
In
Saquon Barkley went at 63.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm like, hey, that's a little rich, but I get it. He's the 101. Rich. And then Todd Gurley, $92.
What?
I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, of all, like, I get that if we're going to use last year's stats, or, you know, maybe, but
we have no idea. You said that was for a redraft auction?
Jeez, almost 50%. Yeah. People don't do that.
That was crazy. So, then Duke Johnson got nominated, and people started going nuts on him, and I'm like, okay, have fun, fellas. Like, blow that money. Like,
that's wild.
So, hey, speaking,
and pick them off.
Speaking of redraft leagues, I also want to give you a little shout-out. And that is Trophy Smack. In your redraft leagues, go get yourself a trophy. And if you use code DHHRING, you can get yourself a free ring in checkout. All you do is you go to checkout, you put a trophy and a ring in, you type in DHHRING on the coupon code, and boom, that $60 ring becomes free. You can go do that, get yourself a trophy. And when you do that, you can take a picture of your trophy, go on Twitter, use hashtag show me your trophy. Like I have a picture of my two wonderful kids holding up the belt and my son is behind the trophy, and do that. And you can win tickets to any game this season with a free hotel stay. It's a contest going on through Trophy Smack. Just go to trophysmack.com or click the link in our podcast description. Go there and it'll take you to go to contest and then click on it. And yeah, it'll give you all the details. But before you go do that, get the trophy. And also, instead of redraft, if you want to try something else, like say in the season you want to. I mean, it's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is on the Jets. Odell Beckham's in Cleveland. One thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money down on all these games. And that is MyBookie. It is the best place for every football weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses, more prop bets than any other sports books, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. Have you guys ever used MyBookie?
I honestly haven't. I used one of the online betting sites years back, but most of the time I just do dumb little bets with my friends. But I'm actually looking at MyBookie right now. Guys, fantastic sports book, casino. Looks like the deposit is going to be super easy to make. Go check this out just like I'm doing right now. Deposit some cash, place your bets, win yourself money. And I'm looking at that MyBookie Super Contest. Yeah, it says it right here. First place, $100,000. Enter now.
It has live in-game betting on any NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business for you and your fantasy guys out there. You can even bet over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game, which is pretty cool. It's up to $1,000 first deposit bonus, doubling your first deposit. All you have to do is enter our code, and I am not sure what our code is, but I will get that in. Tim, MyBookie is sweet because you can sit there and you can literally bet on anything. Like, say I want to bet, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett. We just brought him up. I want to bet he throws for over 300 yards in a game. You can do that. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at their bonuses, 100% sports sign-up bonus. So 100% of what you deposit gets bonused back to you. I'm sure there's some sort of initial deposit.
Yep, and the code is happy hour, by the way, you wonderful people. Happy hour is the code. And also, we are very particular with sponsors, and if I didn't trust in MyBookie, I wouldn't be telling you that. And that's why MyBookie is always the right place to play. You bet, you win, and they will pay.
Sounds good. $100,000 MyBookie contest. That's awesome.
Also, if you guys didn't get the UDK and you guys still need it, go do it. I drafted with this thing. Oh, my God. I killed the draft. They updated the Andrew Luck stuff. So people are taking Marlon Mack in like the third round. People are taking T.Y. Hilton early third. I'm sitting here just reaping the benefits of the UDK, knowing that they updated their rankings right away. And if you use code DHH10, you can get 10% off that UDK. I mean, if you still haven't done your draft, if it's next week or during this week, I'd do it because you can literally mark draft on a player and it will shade them out. It was awesome to use for keeper because I got to see before anybody else. Like, people are using, everybody had the ESPN fantasy football sheet, which, I mean, if you want to use that, do it. But I had the UDK on my phone and it was so easy just to mark players drafted and all that. People are panicking, crossing out, and I'm sitting here just on my phone, just boop, boop, boop. It was so simple. And there was a lot of people wondering what I'm using. And I told them the UDK. DHH10, do it.
All right, guys. So let's talk about some of this more news. What else is going down right now? Week 3 of the preseason that's got your guys' minds churning. Justin, what's the top topic on your mind?
Oh, man. We've already talked mainly the top topics.
What about Cam?
I'm all in on Cam this season. I think that that offense is going to be churning, and if you're targeting all the other players, like, he's obviously going to be the top beneficiary.
Okay. The walking boot isn't scaring you?
No.
He's supposed to practice on Monday, so I guess if he doesn't practice, I'll be a little bit more concerned. But I mean,
Stefania Bell said that the walking boot is usually precautionary before the team will put him in an MRI or whatever they have to do. So it's a lot of precautionary, so he doesn't do anything worse if there is something more to worry about.
Yeah, and you've got to protect some of these guys from themselves.
Yep.
It's true.
I actually drafted Cam in a couple of spots, and I got him super late. I think he's a huge value in redraft and in Dynasty.
Well, I'll tell you what, as invested as I am in those two receivers that they have, I really hope Cam does play. Obviously, if you've been a listener to this podcast, you know that I have a love for Will Greer. But Will is not ready. Will's just not ready yet. He's going to need some more time to develop and refine his game, like we talked about Jacoby refining his. Mm-hmm. So in order for these two guys and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel to hit the potential, especially Curtis Samuel, because 7 months ago, you were getting him much later in drafts today.
So I will tell you what I got for Curtis, or what I gave for Curtis Samuel. I gave Nyheim Hines and a 2020 second, and it's looking like it's going to be top 5 second. So for Curtis Samuel, and I was happy about it. 12-team league.
I was going to say, I don't think that's a bad trade. No. But I mean, 7 months ago in startup drafts, I felt like I was stealing Curtis Samuel in these drafts because you were getting him in the double digit rounds. And now if you're getting him, I mean, I saw him go in round six.
Yeah,
I wanna say,
he's creeping up there.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're hitting like the peak of Curtis Samuel value, and it's only going to take like imagine if he goes out there and has the equivalent of a, I don't know. He has some big 70, 80 yard touchdown, you know, quick slant. And he makes a couple guys miss in the open field and he breaks it long. He's going to shoot through the roof. It's going to be crazy.
Yep.
The value bump you're going to see in him.
Yeah. He'll go for first.
It reminds me of the time that Matt Harmon really blew up Tyler Lockett. And he was going in the sixth round of startup drafts. And I was guilty because I liked Tyler Lockett before he posted something about him. You know, not like I was on top of it before Matt Harmon, but like I was already in because I got to see him play in the Big 12. And then
I was the same way with Allen Robinson, living in Pennsylvania, watching Allen Robinson play every Penn State game. And I'm like, man, this kid's really good. He's going to be good in the NFL. And then I do my scouting that I do. I'm like, yeah, I love him.
Yep.
I think he's going to be amazing. He's going to be great. And then Matt Harmon's like, ooh, reception. He's going to be absolutely awesome. I'm like,
yeah.
And then the entire industry went bonkers over him. And that's, you know, that was one of Matt's big first ones. And he was dead on.
Mm-hmm.
And that one really took Matt to another level, I think, personally. But
yeah, now Chris Godwin is ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, when the Tyler Lockett one came out, I don't think Tyler's ever had tighter pants on. Tyler was all about Lockett before the whole Matt Harmon thing.
I love Tyler Lockett. He was so good for Kansas State. And then Matt, literally, when you like a player, you're like, yes, I can keep it hidden. Like Deshaun Hamilton, I loved him. I saw him on tape when I was trying to watch Gesicki. I'm like, who is this guy? I think he was number 5 for Penn State. I'm like, God, who is this guy? And then he's just crushing it. Routes. He was so, even on deep routes, I'm like, this guy can do everything. And I watched him. All of a sudden, Harmon comes in. Deshaun Hamilton is a guy, you know, perception really likes. Penn State receivers all together. I'm like, wow, you just ruined the whole few, like Justin Shorter in 2 years. Boom. His value is just going to go nuts because of the whole Penn State route running thing.
And Tyler, you're right. Yeah, he was number 5 up there. And yeah, it's fun when you have that guy that you think you're going to keep a secret, and then the, you know, the football draft industrial complex that it is, eventually all of these guys just get ran through the fine tooth comb, and then one of these big boys, one of the guys on ESPN or Matt Harmon or Matt Williamson, they bring it up on these huge podcasts or on a network, and you're like, you have that feeling of, yeah, I'm right, I love him too. But at the same time, like, no, because I was going to get him at the end of my drafts, and now you're killing me.
No, that's the worst, and that happens a lot more than you'd think. Like, in home leagues, you're always like, okay, I'm safe with that. And then, yeah, they blow up.
I think Justice Hill was that this year, but I don't think he ever – I think he's the guy that kind of slipped through.
Yep.
Like, until towards, you know, the middle of camp, really.
He's still
quiet.
When
there are just multiple beat reporters saying, like, no, for real, this guy is good. Because literally, I mean, it was his size. His size kept people away, people were nervous. And he didn't do anything at the combine that just made people go, oh my. He wasn't breaking any sort of records, numbers.
His 40 really wowed a lot of people, I think, at the 4.4. Four flat.
But a guy that small, if you don't run something fast, I mean, like, he would have had to go 4.3, 4.32, something like that. For people to go, oh my dear God.
Then he jumped 40 inches, and it was just like, oh, this guy has really good burst.
Yeah, but you have guys, you know, just the year before, like Saquon Barkley with these big, huge.
Well, you can't compare
workhorse frames.
You can't compare anything to Saquon. If I compared myself to Saquon, I would probably just give up on everything.
Look at Nick Chubb.
That you can't do that either. Nick Chubb was a freak. If it wasn't for Barkley, Nick Chubb would have been.
You got guys with much larger body sizes and frames putting up crazy metrics. And then you got these a guy with Justice Hill's size. If he doesn't have crazy metrics, people are going to be like, well, I don't see how he could actually succeed in this league. Somebody, you know, one of these big linebackers is going to blindside the heck out of him. Ooh. And then he's going to break.
He's
into Ravens camp where there are some big old linebackers that can blindside you and break you. And he's making moves on these practice fields. And these Baltimore beat reporters are like, no, this kid's for real. You guys need to listen. And now the past 2 months, you've really seen the big, big swell for Hill.
So what is a player that you kind of bought the hype on this offseason that may not work out? And I'm going to give you mine first as an example. Rashad Penny was a guy I started buying more and more into the hype. I was like, okay, I could see this working. He could catch passes. You know, you hear the lost weight, which really got my ears perked. Okay, he lost some weight. He did look a little big last year.
Are you talking like early summer hype?
Yes.
I mean, like pre-camp, like OTA stuff.
I bought in June. I bought then. Yeah. I didn't buy for a very high price, though. Like, my prices were very watered down, so it wasn't like I was paying the iron price like people were in July when, you know, Carson was still hurt before he came back and Penny was looking good and Pete Carroll. So I bought into it, and I like right now I'm just looking at my shares and I'm like, I mean, can you be a flex play for me, please? Just be a flex play. That would be great. Yeah, occasionally. That'd be wonderful if you could do that for me. Yeah. And what's a player that you guys kind of bought in? Like maybe a Cortland Sutton type? I mean, a lot of people probably bought into that. Who is it?
It doesn't have to be a rookie?
No.
Okay. So I'll give you mine. So a guy that I thought was going to come in and immediately produce and was going to, you know, kind of break that mold was Andy Isabella. I thought, I still think that he's going to be a good receiver. I'm not doubting him in the long term. I just thought I was going to get some early production out of him. And now
it looks like Keyshawn's going to be that guy early.
Yeah, I'm going to temper my expectations there, but I still believe in the player. But of course, I said that about guys like Taywan Taylor. So
poor Hakeem Butler, by the way. Poor Hakeem Butler put on the IR for Arizona. He was a guy that needed to get on the field and kind of learn the position. He needed some playing time, some seasoning, and he's not going to get it for the first year, which is almost like the first nail in the coffin for rookie receivers. If you miss one full year, I mean, you're one foot in. So I liked them, and that sucked to see. Yeah, for a broken finger. I mean.
Dude, yeah. What's with Arizona and broken fingers?
I don't know.
Okay. There's kind of like multiple layers to this one, but.
Go for it.
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in, I was out, and then I was getting back in again this year. The Tyreek thing, I'm like, okay, there's an automatic bump to Sammy. And then there was this, Sammy is more motivated than ever. He's got his mind right. He's gonna show up and he's going to light things up. And by all accounts, he hasn't had a bad camp, but he hasn't had a lights out camp. Like
Like
he hasn't blown anybody out of the water with anything he's doing.
So
we all know that Tyreek is just good to go. Here we go.
I just can't think of Sammy Watkins the same. Because of what you hear on the footballers, how he legit thinks he's a lizard man.
What?
Yes.
I haven't heard this.
You go on Sammy Watkins' tweets. Jason Moore calls him the lizard king because he legit think like he legit said on Twitter, like, I'm not human. I'm like a lizard. Like, it's a little weird and freaky.
Wait, he thinks he can like change colors, or
like, you know how
he thinks he's people, actually a lizard.
I mean,
human.
He, like, he thinks aliens. He can just keep going forward if his tail falls off.
Well,
like,
no,
his legs
fall off. It's almost like people like some conspiracy theories say aliens live among us, and there's different types of aliens that do, and they can form differently. Kind of like that. Like, he actually believes he's an alien that is like, yeah. Like, it's weird. So every time I think of Sammy, I just think of Jason Moore saying the Lizard King.
If he puts up fantasy points for my teams, he can call himself whatever he wants.
And Tim, before you go back on, with this whole Benjamin Albright's the one that said, keep an eye on Tyreek Hill for the receiver, a big name receiver that could be moved. If Tyreek Hill is moved, Mecole Hardman and Sammy go flying up, like, I mean, skyrocketing. And that's why I kind of want to go out and get some Mecole Hardman shares, because he has looked good in the preseason. And if they legit are like, I don't want to, we got to pay Mahomes, we don't want to pay Tyreek with his past, he's due for a contract, let's keep Sammy and Hardman and another receiver like a Robinson or somebody like that and do that. Like, if that happens, I'm not saying it will, because Sammy's due, I think, 21 million. Like, he's a 21 million cap hit next year, which is nuts. So, I mean, you could be spot on with your Sammy Watkins, the Lizard King chairs.
I can tell you one I bought into that hasn't proved yet that it isn't, that it didn't work. I just kind of feel like, man, I probably shouldn't have invested. Kalen Ballage.
He looks so good.
You know,
good.
The early camp talk about Kalen's running with the ones. He looks like the best running back here. I'm like, you know what? Got a couple drafts coming up still. I'll get Kalen Ballage in those. I can throw him in the back end of offers, probably snag him off some other teams here, some trades. And now, I got a bunch of rosters with Kalen Ballage on them, and I'm like, you're going to do me dirty. I can feel it. I can feel it coming.
Yep. Dante Pettis is another one for me where I was starting to really buy in. I was kind of expecting.
Is it his fault?
His might be because Debo, you're going to say.
I think both the rookies are looking better than they expected at this point right now. I mean, obviously they drafted them to be productive for them, but I think they're kind of ahead of schedule. I think both of them are.
But also, I think with the preseason, there could also be some shade on players where you start to lose faith, and then come regular season, what you were to believe in the beginning of the offseason does come forward. So Pettis could be a guy where his preseason could have been meh and then comes out gangbuster, week one.
Yeah. Coaches do try to hide things, try to shield players. We're not going to show the full hand yet. There's no reason to highlight Pettis. We can run all these plays that we're going to, have Pettis run here in the next couple months. We can run them with Debo now. We can run them with Jalen Hurt now. And,
Let Pettis sit for the majority of the preseason.
Pettis comes out, he plays a handful of snaps. He sees 2-3 targets. If he doesn't do anything with him, who cares? Because we know here in the next couple of months, that end around that Debo's taking for 45 yards, that's going to be Pettis.
Yeah. So it's kind of a fun game to play, because it could be players that you did believe in that kind of fell off that you still might want to look at buying, because they're cheap.
I was going to say, what's the reverse of that? Like, what's a guy that maybe you didn't believe the hype at first? You know, somebody in this, you know, early offseason, like Royce Freeman.
I got mine easily.
Early in the summer, I said,
Devin
hey,
Singletary.
Look,
you know, oh, that mother.
Devin Singletary.
Oh, God. I own him nowhere. Nowhere.
I think I have one share, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I really should have probably went after him a little bit more. Same with Hill. I mean,
you liked Hill.
I do those rookie film breakdowns, and I mean, Tyler, you were very high on Anderson at Oklahoma.
Yeah, who looked great, by the way. I want to say that
I did.
He looked so good.
I did Anderson and Hill in the same rookie breakdown, but like five players, and I thought Hill was the best running back in that group. And I still don't think I went and got him enough. Like, that's a guy I'm like, hey, you dummy. You even said it yourself. You liked mm-hmm. him. You thought he was going to be electric, you know, make guys miss, good in space type player. And I didn't take advantage of it.
So
that's always my problem. Going and doing what I recommend is mm-hmm. because I'm not much of going out and seeking out trades. And part of that's just because I've gotten more busy. And part of that's because I don't like the dance. I'm not a huge trader. I like the, let's do, this is my offer. Okay, cool. You got a counter. I like your counter. Cool. If not, I'm done. And I hate the dance. And I think that's a lot of my leagues have guys that love to just text back and forth for 2 days. And I'm not about that.
I hate. Tim, you know me in trading. There is nothing that irks me more than when you're trade talking and you are really getting the wheels going. And honestly, if it takes more than an hour, I am going to bug the crap out of you till I get a final set in stone answer, because I have a friend that will always be like, hey, yeah, let me think about it.
Give me a day to think about it.
Freaking a day later. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm just like, and the thing is with trades, you have to get the interest. And once you capture the interest, you have to attack. You have to attack once somebody's saying, yeah, you know, I kind of like this. And if it's a trade you really want, you need to get it done within like 10 minutes. Otherwise, they will start looking at it more deeply and just sit there and be like, I don't know. I just don't want to trade. So here's a little trade advice. When you get somebody that's like, I do like this trade, when you hear those words, you just go full running at them and just attack. You get that trade done in 5 minutes. Otherwise, it's done.
And that's exactly how Tyler goes about it. Like, when Tyler doesn't want to trade, he's not really going to come off, guys, unless you just send him an offer that he's like, oh yeah. Oh God. Yes. Like, if you listen to this you know, you're like, oh man, you know, Tyler was really talking up Devin Singletary, I'll go hook him up. But when Tyler, he'll just randomly get on a message board or on Twitter, you know, in one of the chat groups for certain leagues and say, you know, I haven't made a trade in a while. I'm looking to trade. Strike while the iron's so hot.
It's like having a cigarette for some people. Yeah, like, it's just like,
that's very true.
I haven't snuck one in a while. I'm going to go out here behind the shed and light one up.
It's so exhilarating. And honestly, I just love the whole thing about it. Like, the whole, okay, somebody's interested in a trade that I'm like, okay, yes, let's see. If I look at your roster and there's nothing I see, you'll know, because I'm not going to send anything. If there's a player where I see and I'm like, I'm getting him, you'll know, because you'll have three or four trades sent that, yeah, they may be one-sided, but I will put in that little message box, these are starting trades, letting you know my interests. Let's get this going.
Yeah, and see, I like that. I like multiple options. I like to say, okay, cool, this is someone I'm willing to move. I think, like you said, you don't send the first offer as like, this is my final offer. Because unless you know someone is only about that final offer.
Yeah.
And that's whenever you usually send, this is all I'm going to send, reject it or not, that's it. And I have some people that, those ones that like to do a lot of business, I'll do that thinking on my end, and I'll send that. This is my only offer. Reject it were accepted. And that's just to keep things short and sweet. But yeah, like that's a great way to do it, man. That multiple options is great.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I have a player on my team that I'm looking to get out of, I'm looking to get away from, I'll send an offer to multiple people in the league. If there is a player on a specific roster that I am interested in, I'll send multiple offers for that one player. But then, like Justin mentioned, and this is an issue I have, and I know I have it, and I know I need to work on it and get better at it, is most of the time, my offer is about what I'm willing to pay. There's not going to be a ton of wiggle room. So if I send, like today, it was Aaron Rodgers and Eli Manning. Somebody was trying to get off me. They offered me Ben and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I countered back, you know, wanted a receiver in the deal, and they then countered back and added in what I considered pretty close to the equivalent wide receivers. Well, then we were not making up that difference in the ground I wanted to make up, so no. And it's at that point, I'm not going
to. First off, trades have to make sense.
Yep.
Second off, I think everybody has to at least think they're winning. And so that's the reason I'm like you. I send a trade that I'm willing to do. Now, it may be a shade on my side, but most of the time I try and get pretty dang close. Like if I'm going to have to kick something, it's going to be kicking a fourth or a third in.
Yeah.
Or an equivalent player. Like I'm trying to get that close with my offers.
All right. So I'm going to kind of give another strategy, and then I'm going to ask you guys a question about the trades you're doing now. So also when you're trading, like say I want to go out and get Sam Darnold. If I'm looking for Sam Darnold in the league, and say the guy only has Sam Darnold in a super flex and like a Nick Foles, I'm not even going to bother because he's going to be overpriced because his only young legit quarterback is Sam Darnold. Those are the type of things where you're just like, okay, I can't do it. Like, I got Carson Wentz and pigs, and then I had some people be like, hey, what do you want for Carson Wentz? Oh, well, I mean, quarterbacks are super valued in pigs, so probably nothing because I thought I got him for a decent price. So, I mean, you got to look at other players' teams. Like, say you hit a team and you're looking for a quarterback. Like, say you do want to go out and get Daniel Jones, which I would not frown upon. I think it's a good time. You go look at Daniel Jones, and the guy has four quarterbacks, and Daniel Jones is one of them. Attack. Like, that is a perfect sign, like saying, hey, this is a guy that has four quarterbacks in the Superflex League. Try him. Go for him. He's got some quarterbacks to spare. Maybe he needs a running back and you have running backs. That's what makes sense. Also, I want to ask Justin this first and then you, Tim. Give me a player you are going out right now, you would like to go out tonight and buy, and then a player that you have that you're looking to sell high.
I would like to go out and buy Justice Hill. But my problem is that, and I don't know if anybody else is having this issue, like I'm wanting to hold on to my picks for next year a little too much.
Yep.
And that's typically what I'm willing to give up in trades because either A, I've already consolidated players that I'm not going to be starting on teams that I'm pushing to win, which are the teams that I'm going after guys like Justice Hill on, or B, I don't have enough top-end assets to even get to that. Like, I'm in a rebuild mode. So Justin Hill would be the guy I want to do that on. You know, you have to give me a minute on thinking of a guy.
All right. To sell. I'll give you my sell, and it would be Tony Pollard. And that's an easy, easy sell. As much as I like Tony Pollard, the value I've seen him go for, early seconds to even first-round 2020 picks.
Wow.
It's
like I would in a heartbeat sell him for that.
It's insane.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, his value is insane. I've gotten offered because I have Zeke in a couple leagues. I got offered Tony Pollard for 2021st, and my instant thought was like, no. Like I would think about a second if I owned Zeke, but if I didn't own Zeke, I am shipping him out the door as quick as possible just because of his value. And it's funny. Because I have Tony Pollard in a league, and I tried to trade him to the Zeke owner. The Zeke owner wanted nothing to do with it. He's like, no, what? I don't. I'm not giving a second. You know what I did? I bought Zeke from him. I was like,
fix that problem.
I was like, okay, I'm comfortable enough. I have Pollard. I'll buy Zeke instead. So that was actually a very fun trade to do, because just the turning of the tides in my mind was very funny. And I think I probably laughed a little bit too, because I was by some friends. I'm like, hey, you know, I was trying to trade Tony Pollard. Yeah, I bought Zeke instead. And they're like, what? And then a player I'm probably going out to buy is probably Devin Singletary. I mean, I've chatted about him, and it's just he's getting passes. It looks like they want to use him as a passing back, and he looks good running the ball. And I just didn't buy into it. I think I got caught up in the combine scores, because they were god awful. They were terrible. And I should have looked at his draft stock and his college production. I liked him in college. He was a good player. He was fun to watch in college. But then there was another player where I got caught up in all this draft hoopla and decided to go with that. I got caught in the storm and I didn't draft any. I got him in a couple of redraft leagues, very late. So yeah, it's a player I wish I had more in Dynasty, and a player I'd probably go out and look for. So Pollard is my sell, and Singletary is probably my buy, because I think he could go very, very high next year around this time.
Yeah, I did not realize that Pollard was going for that kind of price, and I have him in a lot of places. So I might have to, test the waters there, because if I can get a second out of him, I'll be pumped, because I paid late fourths or even got him picked up on waivers. Yep.
So, I mean, I love plenty of players, but yeah, I think that Hill is my number one. And I mentioned it earlier. This is a guy that I've liked for months. Yeah. And I look at my rosters and I'm like, you had the opportunity to get him here. You had the opportunity. Like, I could have had him in rookie drafts in multiple different leagues. And I fell in love with other players at different positions, and I just didn't feel like it was the right time to take him. And other guys jumped and took him. And good on them. But yeah, he's a guy that, I feel I need to go try to purchase.
Yep, and he was a guy that I had an asterisk by all offseason, because, Tim, you were a fan of him, and I, as much as you would like to think I don't, I do listen to you, and I do take your advice. So the earliest I seen him in a home league was 112. Somebody really liked him, and go get your guy, whatever. And the latest I saw him go for was a league I actually took him in, and it was 304, and the draft was in August 1st. So that was the latest I've seen him go. And then you see him in between, after after Alexander Madison second, type range, Damian Harris range.
Yeah, there's another guy who's starting to get more and more hype is Madison.
Yep.
I mean, he had a handful of believers early on, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Vikings, Justin, you want to talk about Dalvin Cook coming back? Yeah. He looks healthy. Dang it, sure Tim. Does. Bar tab.
So the guy I think is now a sell, and nothing against his talent, his future prospects, but David Montgomery. I mean, this guy's kind of skyrocketed. In a 2QB league, I sold David Montgomery in a third, and I got Sam Darnold, who has looked absolutely lights out, and just another guy I have a huge man crush on, and a 2021st.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, all day.
Yeah.
In super, like, super flex, that's lights out.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, I have an okay quarterback grouping here, but I love Sam Darnold, and I think he's got a very upward projection going for him. And just career arc. I mean, I get it that David Montgomery is the rookie now, but I'll take the potential 15 years of quarterback play versus the potential maybe 8 from a running back. Yeah. So,
dude, that's a slam dunk choice.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I got it. At this price, I have to get out of the David Montgomery business here. So
I love that trade.
I mean, people love them, David Montgomery, and I do not fault them for it. I completely get it, but. Hey, so that's the guy I'm moving away from. So, guys, we've been chatting now for a while. So, anything for week 4 or week 1 that you guys want to hit on real quick?
Not really. I'm just pumped. I'm really excited for the season to start. Speaking of Montgomery, we'll see him week 1 on Thursday, at home against the Packers. We'll see if the Packers defense can actually step up. That's going to be a fantastic game to watch right away. And I'm interested.
Isn't that like the 4,000th time they've played each other?
Yeah. But I'm also interested to see Baker with Landry and Beckham playing, because you see him out there in the preseason. He looked
Chubb.
Awful. Well, Chubb is like my running back three. So I love Nick Chubb this year. And yeah, I'm so pumped to see. Oh, and P.S. I have not bought an Andrew Luck jersey yet. So that was not my fault. I'm going to say that to everybody. That was not my fault. And if somebody did, if I end up getting one in the mail from somebody, that's on you. And I will call you up for that. You're the one that ruined Andrew Luck's career, not me.
Oh, that's funny. I forgot all about that. I should have opened the show with, apparently Tyler owns multiple Andrew Luck jerseys.
I have like five.
Yeah. Tyler, nice Andrew Luck jersey you're wearing tonight. Good callback. Great callback. Justin, anything for week four?
No, I feel bad for some of these guys because they're about to, you know, pour their heart and soul into week four and then be cut.
Yeah, so that does stick.
That's one of the worst things about it. But, I mean, not like we're talking to NFL players here, but I hope they go get their chance. Yeah. And, I actually am just ready for week four to be over because I'm ready for real football.
Yes.
Yep. I just hope this is the end of any sort of major injury news that we have to worry about. Kidding. Just everybody stay healthy. Let's get to week one. And not that I want them to start getting hurt after that point, but like, let's get the season going. And then, you know, obviously things happen at that point, but no more injuries before the season, please. So, hopefully Zeke signs. I'd love to see Melvin Gordon do something, please. SFB, I need you. So for everybody here at the Dynasty Happy Hour, we will see you next week right here on the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.